The book of Luke, chapter 4. Luke, chapter 4. We've given the last couple of services to emphasis to the Holy Spirit, kind of building up to discussion of the gifts of the Spirit, but we're not quite there yet. We're going to be moving right into specifically these various gifts of the Spirit likely next weekend, but I want to talk today, take this time in this service and to give emphasis to the value and the importance of the church that is filled with the Spirit. Now, the church worldwide, the world universal, the church universal, what would we be doing? What would be the condition today of the world if there was no church of the Lord Jesus Christ? If suddenly the church was gone, or if the church had never existed, what kind of a world? I don't believe that we can even imagine how terrible of a place that this world would be without the church. I guess the closest thing that you could identify with is by looking at nations of the world that don't allow freedom for worship, or that don't allow for there to be an outspoken witness for Jesus Christ, when the church is there but kind of stifled and stopped. And that's happened for many, many years in places like China. North Korea comes to mind, and other nations of the world where there has been this vacuum because of no ministry of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. What's so amazing about it, though, is that whenever the church is silenced, persecuted, stopped, it really is never successful, because the church, it goes on anyway. It goes underground if necessary. It goes in places. And in China, as I understand it, most that give statistics today say that there are more Christians in China than there are in the United States of America now, because of the underground church. Even though there are many laws which restrict worship in a place like China. But what if there was no church in the world? What if there was no church? I think that we all recognize that it's the Christian spirit that is a giving spirit, that's generous, that's provides billions upon billions of dollars annually for feeding programs, disaster relief programs, and when the government can't get to the Gulf when there's a hurricane, the only thing that saved hundreds and thousands of lives were churches and Christian groups that went down there, provided water, provided food, provided shelter when the government could not get their act together and get down there. And it doesn't matter. There are many, many Christian groups, church groups, that whenever there's a disaster, they send people out immediately to go and to work and to help and to assist. That's here in our nation. Something like 25% of clinics and hospitals in the world have been built by the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The majority of orphanages and agencies such as that to provide hope for children without parents are Christian-based or built by churches or church groups. I think that we all recognize that the pro-life movement in America and nation or worldwide would not exist if it was not for Christian people who are concerned about the preservation of life. So we experience that even right here in our community. Church efforts that are put forth and to saving lives, to ministering to people in need, and on and on and on it goes. That if you remove the church, you have just this unbelievable vast blackness that's not there, and a hopelessness that's not there. It's because the Lord has called the church to be an influencing agency in the world. That is our calling. The church is here for that purpose. We're here, yes, to gather together, to have church services and to strengthen one another, to reach out to the lost. And there is definitely an important part of the church that includes our meetings, our Sunday school, our outreach, our services. All are valuable and important. But right now, the great need is for the church not to be just here, although it's wonderful when everybody comes to church. What's even more important is when the church goes out of this place and we are the church in the world. That's really what we are called to be, the influence of Christ in the world, everywhere. Those years of ministry of Jesus, 3 years, 3.5 years of his ministry, that he influenced all of the known world everywhere he went. He touched lives. He ministered to needs. He was constantly giving of himself and ministering to people that were in need. That inner circle, those 12 disciples, he daily poured into them. And his influence was far, far reaching. But after he left and was resurrected and ascended into heaven, then he left the rest of the work of the ministry, of his ministry, the ministry of Christ, is to be fulfilled in you and through you and through the church. We are the body of Christ left in this world to influence. Amen. So the church is God's instrument to reach the world that we live in today. Amen. Let's read here in Luke 4, Luke chapter 4 and verse number 1. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered. The devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. Jesus answered him, saying, It is written, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. The devil, taking him up into a high mountain, and showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. He brought him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answered, said unto him, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. He came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. When he had opened the book, he found the place where it is written, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. He closed the book and he gave it again to the minister and sat down. The eyes of all of them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Now this is an introduction to the ministry of Jesus when he began his earthly ministry. Notice how important it was that he be led, directed, and filled with the Spirit, even as he was full, the first verse, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan, led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And all the time that he's combating with the temptations of the enemy, he's using the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. It is written, it is written, it is written. The Bible says at the close of his temptation time, he came forth out of the wilderness. He returned, verse 14, he returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. So the ministry of Jesus himself was a ministry in the Holy Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, directed of the Holy Spirit of God, rested up on him. He was filled with the Holy Ghost. He was led of the Spirit, and he resisted the enemy through the power of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. If there is there's no greater biblical example of the importance of the ministry of the church being the extension of the ministry of Jesus. He said, "I'm going away, but then I'm going to come again. I'm going to ascend into heaven." He told them to go and wait in Jerusalem until they were endued with power from on high. "I'm going away. I'm sending another comforter that's going to be with you. He's going to empower you. He is going to give to you what you need to continue the ministry that Jesus left in this world." So we all, the church of Jesus Christ is the product of the Holy Spirit. It is, I think, obvious that without the power of the Spirit of God, then we're like any other group. We're like any other club or organization. We're nothing more than just a group that meets on a regular basis. But we really can't be identified truly as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ unless we are Spirit-inspired, Spirit-anointed, filled with the Spirit, operating under the influence of the power of the Holy Ghost. That's the only way that we can really have any credibility as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the only way that we can really be the body or the instrument that God has chosen to use in this world today. Amen. And by the way, it's the only thing that will be convincing to the world. Because the world, they know all about religion. The world is pretty much sick of religion and religious activity. They want to see Jesus Christ, and they want to see the demonstration of the power of the Spirit of God in your life and in my life. They don't want our form. They don't want all of our little religious ways. They want to know, is Jesus real? And then they want to know, can he change my life? Is there any reason for me to put my trust and my confidence in Jesus Christ as Savior? And we know that there's no greater miracle than the miracle of a life that's transformed by the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That will convince the world that Jesus is really alive and that he is working in these last days. He said, "I'm going to go away, but I'm going to give to you the power of the Spirit of God." Matthew 28 and 19, we all are familiar with these verses which describe the commission, the great commission of our Lord. "Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you." And here's the verse I want to, here's the part I want to emphasize. And to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. The promise of God is that if we'll go forth, is if we'll step out as a representative of Jesus Christ, then the world, or then that God is going to empower us to convince the world of their sin and to help them to see that they need Jesus Christ. It is only the power of the Spirit of God that rests upon our life. Folks, oh, how desperately that we need a revival of the power of God's Spirit in our lives. Amen. I need it. You need it. We all need it. We all need a renewing of the Spirit of God. We need again to be stirred in our spirits to recognize that we have a God-given calling and a purpose in this generation for these last days. And I'm fully convinced, while I know we're not the only church in this community, many churches in this community, but we have a God-given calling and responsibility to this community, our local church, our little group right here. We have a responsibility to the community and to the region and to the world to spread the gospel and to do the work of the ministry by the power of the Spirit. We're not going at this on our own or all alone. When we go forth, we understand that Jesus has promised, I am with you to the end of the world. I'm going to be with you. So if you'll step out, if you'll go in my name and you carry the gospel of Jesus Christ, then I'm going to be with you. I'm going to empower you. John 14 and verse 12, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works, and we've used that verse several times in recent months, and greater works than these shall ye do, because I go unto my Father. The only explanation that I have, you might could enlighten me on this, the only explanation I have is that Jesus, while he was on this earth in his earthly body, he was filled with the Spirit and he was conducting the ministry of the gospel in that 3.5 year time period of time. But when he has poured out his Spirit upon the church is everywhere. Amen. I have to tell you that in most places in the world, some of the places that are the darkest and most difficult places that you could ever go, the only redeeming thing in that country or in that region is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. 1987 was my first trip into Romania with Brother Huff and Brother Jerry Back. And it was before the whole, you know, the communist regime had come down. And it was still a very dark place. When we pulled into the train station, I was wondering how could we actually be at the train station, because it was at nighttime and there were no lights. It was dark. And I saw people just throwing suitcases out the window. And I thought, what's going to happen here? Little did I know that some of the brethren that had met us there had come on the train immediately. And they were throwing our bags off. And they were throwing them into the hands of some other believers. And they were helping us because we couldn't have helped ourselves. We were in darkness. And they ushered us into cars where we were packed in little bitty cars in freezing weather. And we would go to a home where they would have some pitiful little things for us to eat. But honestly, they had provided the very best that they had for us. And we went into that home and it was just lit by a small light. It was cold, even, and there was no place to get warm. There was no place where you really felt it. It just seemed like a dark cloud just was over the entire nation. And the only place that saved you in that country at that time was when you went to church. Praise God. And when you went to church, it didn't matter if it was in a basement crammed full of people. I remember hanging up my coat behind me on the platform there, kind of a makeshift platform. I hung my coat up there because it was the only place I'd actually got to that was too warm for me not to have it on, because usually we slept in our clothes, we slept in our coats, we slept in everything and put every blanket over the top of us that we could, because the hotels were freezing. You'd sit in the hotel restaurant and drink your little cup of tea. It was hot, but you could see your breath in that room. It was just miserable. And the only place where there was real relief from all that oppression and darkness is when you went into the church. And I remember the first service that I went into. Don't remember the place. I just remember that they ushered us through the crowd, that the place was so crammed full of people, and people were worshiping and crying, the tears were flowing down their faces as they were singing praises to God. And it was warm, and I hung my coat up behind me, and the top of the building had been bulldozed down, and so we were in a basement that was probably very dangerous for us to be down there. But anyway, we were in the basement of that building with all of those people, and the rusty pipes and everything was dripping, and it ruined my coat. It dripped that rusty stuff all over my coat. But I have to tell you, it was the church that was the redeeming hope in that nation. When you go into that place and you just sense the presence of God and people were worshiping God, and it was the hope of the nation. And that's true in every nation of the world, everywhere that I've ever been, that there's a lot of good things about many of these nations, but most of the cases in these many third world countries, there's poverty and there's trouble and there's hardship, and most of the people suffer it. And the only redeeming thing is the church. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ, because it's God's instrument in Nicaragua. It's God's instrument in Romania. It's God's instrument in China and India and Africa and all these nations of the world and Haiti. It's God's instrument in all of these nations of the world to give hope and light to a world that's in such despair. And Jesus said, I'm going to go away and greater works are you going to do. Why? Because the church is dispersed all over the world. The church's influence is everywhere, even in places where it's prohibited and it's even illegal. The church is still thriving. It's alive. Even though they try to persecute and stop the work of the ministry, it just grows in spite of that, because the church is the hope of the world. That's the reason why that we need to take the church to heart. Amen. This church is the hope. There are some people that are not going to come to the Lord unless we are faithful to the work of the ministry here at this local church. Amen. If you're faithful to God, if you're faithful to your calling, you're faithful to the ministry of the church, I don't treat it carelessly. As far as I'm concerned, it's so important that we be here and that we be actively involved in what God is trying to accomplish through us, because I understand, and I think most of us recognize the fact that God has placed us here for a purpose. We are God's instrument in this community. We're not the only ones. I'm not saying that we are. I'm just simply saying we bear a tremendous responsibility to many people who will not receive the Lord unless we do our job right. Amen. Greater works than these shall ye do. No longer is it restricted to this Jesus and his physical body, but now we are the body of Christ. We are his hands, we are his feet, we are his voice, we are his instrument in the world today, proclaiming the gospel to the world that so desperately needs to know Jesus Christ, and we are called of God, and a lot of things are not going to happen. A lot of people are not going to be reached unless we fulfill our calling and we are filled with the Spirit of God. Amen. Glory to God. The work of the ministry without the power of the Spirit is a very pitiful thing. I remember Brother Clendenin saying from time to time, some churches would never, they would just go on. If suddenly the Holy Spirit was lifted from that church, they would just go right on as if nothing had ever happened before, because they're already trying to operate without the Holy Spirit. They're already trying to operate. I like organization. I know that we need order. I know that we need the structure, all that is valuable and important, but we desperately need the working and the moving of the Spirit in our lives, in our services, in our ministries. We desperately need the voice of the Holy Spirit of God, God speaking. Honestly, folks, it is wishful thinking if we think that we know how to do it and we know how to have church because we've done this all of our lives. We need the inspiration and the voice of the Spirit of God. Because God, by His Spirit, He knows everybody that's here. He knows your needs that I don't know anything about. He's able to speak to you and work directly with the varying types of needs and circumstances in a meeting like this morning. God knows what's going on in your life. And if this is a Spirit-led service, a Spirit-anointed service, then God can meet all types of varied needs by the work of the Spirit of God. It is wishful thinking to think that we would ever be able to do God's work that we have been called to do without the power of His Holy Spirit resting upon us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Every song, every word, every teaching session, every preaching session, every prayer meeting, everything that we attempt to accomplish, if we try without the Spirit, we will fail. We're destined to fail. We're not going to be able to be what the Lord wants us to be. The church, God's body, God's instrument in the world today. You see a very vivid picture of this in Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6. When you read that chapter, that there was this amazing vision. The vision was of two olive trees, one on the left, the other one on the right. And then there was candlesticks, seven of them in the middle. And there were tubes running from those trees over to a bowl. And from the bowl, those tubes fed those lights, those lanterns, those candlesticks. And so it was a picture of vision that Zacharias had. And he saw those trees that were providing the oil that were being poured into that basin, and then the tubes that came from that basin were feeding the light. In of course, the oil was symbolic of the Holy Spirit that lightens, and those candlesticks were symbolic of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And whenever you're disconnected, when you don't have the oil and the light, the oil of the Holy Spirit, then the light goes out. The light goes out. We have no ministry. We have nothing to offer to the world. After the vision that he had, verse 6, it says, "Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord." The vision of those trees providing the oil, lighting those candlesticks, was a vision that compels us to be reminded here today that we have nothing to offer to the world unless we are tapped into this divine source of the oil of the Holy Spirit. We have no light. We have nothing to offer to the world unless we are a Spirit-led, Spirit-filled church moving and acting in the power of the Spirit of God. Not by might, which was describing physical strength or man's own strength, nor by power. The word there literally means by authority, that it's not by some man-made decision or authority, but it is only by my spirit, not by might, physical, by man-made strength, not by power, not by any man-made authority, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. That's how the church moves forward. That's how we succeed. That's how that we have a ministry. And Jesus wants us to have the very ministry that he did, and he describes it here in Luke chapter 4. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. You'll see this all through as I've read all this, these several verses, 21, 22 verses. For a text here today, you see the repeated reference to the Spirit of God. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And here he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Now, actually, you have to see this. It's not that we aren't to reach out to those that are physically or materially poor, but the real issue here is you have to understand that this is a message related to the Spirit and related to the spiritual condition of mankind. And so we're called of God to have a ministry like Jesus did, anointed of the Spirit, so that we can preach the gospel to the poor, that we can evangelize by the Spirit of God. And he's provided to us the means whereby we're able to bring hope and salvation to the world. Blessed are the poor in spirit, those that are humbling themselves, those that are open to the things of God, that you can preach the gospel to them. They will hear it and they will receive it. Amen. Praise the Lord. That person that's self-sufficient is oftentimes resistant to the gospel, not interested in the gospel. Just wait. In due time, the Lord knows how to take the proud and the haughty and the self-sufficient. He's able to bring them to a place that they humble themselves and they recognize that they need God too. So you may be praying for someone that's not interested in the gospel, not interested in the Lord or the things of the Lord. Just pray, Lord, prepare their heart and arrange the circumstances so that they'll one day see how desperately they need the Lord. And then we can preach the gospel to the poor in spirit, the humble in spirit. And that person who has no other spiritual resource, nowhere else to turn, then when he hears the hope that's in Jesus Christ, then he reaches out like a starving man for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. He's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. We know that what Satan has come to do is to steal, kill, and destroy. And when mankind is left to his own devices, that's what's going to happen. Satan is going to try to destroy your life. He wants to destroy the potential of your life. He wants to destroy your future. He wants to destroy everything that God wants to give to you and how that he wants to bless and use your life. Satan wants to destroy all that. And when you're left to yourself without God, that's what happens. Your life becomes a mess, shattered and destroyed and in such need. And it is only that person, when that person comes to the end of himself and he recognizes how much that he needs the Lord, that healing can come. And all the mess that the devil has made can be restored through the power of the Spirit-anointed ministry. Hallelujah. Ministering to those in their need. Preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Let me tell you, you don't have to look very far to find people like that. You just don't. If your heart is open and if you're willing to look around, you'll see all around you that there are people that their lives are in such mess. They're so wrecked and ruined. We kind of live in our little circle, in our little world, and we think everything's going good. And I've had even people say to me, I don't really know who I could ever invite to church, or I don't know who I could talk to. It's because you live in your little world, your little circle, and you never step out of it to see that there are people out there. They're at the homeless shelter. They're at different places around the community. They're in desperation. They're in our schools. They're in different places all over our community. And they're lost and they're hopeless. And they need the Lord Jesus Christ. And they need the healing that can come from knowing the Lord. And an anointed ministry is the only hope for a generation like we're living in right now. Hallelujah. Let me be real quick here. To preach deliverance to the captives. And again, there are so many people that are bound. They're so bound in the world that they live in that they cannot break out of it. They live in a world of bitterness, anger, envy. They live in a world and there's no happiness in their life. They think the things that they're pursuing are going to bring happiness to them, but it doesn't. They just get deeper and deeper into the things of this world, and they're held captive. And the only thing that'll set them free is a Spirit-anointed ministry of the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm not against counseling. I think counseling certainly has its place if it's biblically based and anointed of the Spirit. But if it's man-made ideas, we're just going to dig deeper into our problems. Amen. We need hope and we need deliverance by the power of the Spirit of God. Recovery of sight to the blind. Yeah, the physically blind, but even to a greater degree are the people that are blinded by their own lives and their own ways. They're blinded by society, by the culture that we live in today. They think they're right. They think that what they're doing is good, but they're blinded. Bringing sight to those that are blind. They can't see the future. They can't see any hope. Only a Spirit-anointed ministry can bring hope and the recovery of sight to those that are spiritually blind. Freedom to those that are bruised. Liberty to them that are bruised. Let me tell you, there's an element of the demonic in our world today. Satan working overtime to try to destroy the lives of people. He wants to destroy marriages. He wants to destroy young people before they're ever married. He wants to insert all of the philosophy and the thinking of this world into the minds of this generation. They're so confused and they're held captive. Let me tell you, it's only the only explanation that I have for all of this powerful push for this gay agenda. Is the fact that Satan is behind it. It's a demonic force, and it is working in the world today. And there's no way we can politically counter it. We can't stop it. It is only by the power of the Spirit of God. It's only as the church is really what we are called to be, and that we are examples of godly believers, and even godly morality and godly marriage, as God has ordained for it to be. There's definitely an element of the demonic in our world today that can't be countered except by the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I believe that if First Pentecostal Church were to close the doors of this building and of our ministries and our outreach, if that happened, then I believe that there would be people that are within our reach that might not be taught, might not be reached for the cause of Christ. That's a troubling thing, especially if we are a church that is just a church in name only, and we have no spirit and no anointing and no power of the Spirit of God, then we have nothing to offer to this world. Hallelujah. So as a preacher of the gospel, I recognize how desperately I need to be filled with the Spirit. And every one of us, every one of us. Amen. Oh, how we need God's power, His presence, His Spirit actively working in our lives today. Is that your hunger? Is that your desire? Lord, use us. Use us. Use us. We can't expect that we'll see the gifts of the Spirit in operation among us unless we are first of all truly filled with the Spirit. We're going to have to be filled with the Spirit. And once we're filled with the Spirit, then we can begin to seek earnestly these gifts, asking the Lord to use us in whatever ways that He chooses to use us. Hallelujah. Father, thank You. Thank You, Lord, that You have delegated to us as Your church this last day ministry. And Lord, I ask You, God, to stir our hearts to see the value, the importance of it, the priority of it. And Lord, that every man and woman, every young person, everyone in this church would begin to seek You, Lord, and would be truly filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Hallelujah. That influence in the world, that influence in our community is what is so desperately needed. Hallelujah.